gentlemen, welcome to The Sigh Effect, a show that deals with hot topics from all directions. And now, introducing the funny, the talented, the charismatic, the captivating, the woman who tells it like it is, your host, I am Sigh.
Sigh Effect. Today on the Sigh Effect, I have Canadian composer Miss Natalie Brown. She has released three full-length albums, three full original-length albums. You know, we have to say that these days. This girl is the truth. You may have heard some of her music on a movie or television or somewhere in cyber world or movie world, TV land. And I've been a fan of Natalie Brown for over 10 years, and I can't wait to introduce you to her. Her new album is called The Relationship Odyssey. We're going to play a couple of tracks off of that album, and I can't wait. I can't wait no longer. Please, please, everyone, welcome Natalie Brown to the Sigh Effect.
Hello, Natalie. Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on the Sigh Effect. You know, I've been a fan. I have everything but an autograph from you at this point.
Well, I guess we better fix that.
Yeah, we got to figure out the FedEx something, UPS or something right now.
Hilarious.
Natalie, you've been doing music, writing, producing. You've been doing this for a long time. How long have you been singing professionally?
Well, probably now like 16, 17 years. I mean, I got my start doing gospel music never really released anything, but I toured around and I was really involved in youth ministry when I was younger in my teens. And then sort of just when I turned about 19, I made the switch to doing secular music, you know, and did like R&B and contemporary like hits radio kind of stuff with my first album. But I would say like I guess 1998 was the year that I started doing, you know, secular stuff. So it's been a while. I mean, time flies.
Yeah, time does fly. You make beautiful music, and I remember when we first connected, it was on mp3.com at the time I was doing music, and I came across your page, and there was a song that I just could not stop playing over and over and over again, and that was from the album Let the Candle Burn, and that was actually the song.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yes, I've been a serious fan of yours for a long time. I feel like a groupie right now because I'm so excited.
Oh, it's just sweet. It's so sweet. It's so sweet that, you know, people have followed it along and have stuck by me through this crazy journey.
Yeah,
so that's amazing.
Yeah. Yes, and, you know, mp3.com I don't think is no longer, and I ended up connecting with you on Twitter, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yep. Holla. Good old Twitter. I know. It's been pretty amazing connecting with lots of people on Twitter and Facebook. You know, I guess when one site dies, lots of other sites have come to take its place. So that's pretty cool.
Right. Now, like I said, you make beautiful, calming, relaxing music, and there are lyrics to your music. I mean, every word is like when you listen, when someone listens, you don't want to miss anything because there are truth to your lyrics.
Thank you.
As a writer and a musician, has anyone compared you or your sound to someone else in the industry?
Oh, I mean, I've been compared to so many people, and I think it just depends on the album. When I first came out, I was, you know, the mini Mariah, you know, I guess, because I exercised a lot of my range and stuff on that first album. And, you know, I won't lie, she was a huge influence on me coming up. You know, I mean, I came up you know, when I was younger, I wasn't actually grew up in a Christian home. I became a Christian when I was just a young teenager and got totally immersed in gospel. So it was like C.C. Winans and B.B. and C.C. Winans and this artist, Krista Lewis, and just got really steeped in a lot of those sounds. But then when I started listening to secular music again, you know, back then it was like Celine Dion was really popular and Mariah. And then I got into like SWV and Vogue, you know, Brian McKnight was huge, Boys to Men. I loved all that stuff. So when I first came out, yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of people compared me to Mariah, and then Christina Aguilera was brand new on the scene, so people were comparing me to her. And I got compared to all kinds of people, and then later on it was like Tina Marie, who I had no idea who that was at the time, and then research turned, found out, and later on in life finally got to make contact with her, which was amazing, and unfortunately she passed away in 2010, yeah, which was really sad.
Yeah.
Actually, it was really sad because she had just asked me to come on tour with her, and we were getting ready to do that, and so it was kind of like, oh, wow. Yeah, it was really quite upsetting, but, you know, more so just because she was so, she called me, and, you know, she was very, very amazing to me, because it's harder being a white girl doing this, you know, kind of R&B thing, and I've played around with different variations, you know, on my sort of roots, my gospel and, you know, R&B roots, but she was just so encouraging to me, you know, and I guess through the years, you know, so many people, I guess now I get compared a lot to Leona Lewis, you know, and other people like that, but, you know, people have compared me to, like, Colby Calais, you know, Mariah, you know, so many different artists. I guess it just depends on, you know, the song they listen to or the album, but I think now, I think especially the last couple albums, I think I've sort of more defined my own sound. I think Let the Candle Burn, because I was going for that radio sound, you know, really did reflect, you know, more of the artists of the late 90s and early 2000s. You know, Alicia was another comparison, Beyonce, Destiny's Child, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think now it's harder to sort of say, oh, who does she sound like? Just because I think now I sound so different to what's on radio. I didn't follow that trajectory of radio music. I kind of went off and sort of played around and did my own thing. So, but, you know, I think we always sort of have a little bit of a product of our influences in what we do because, you know, you kind of, you steep yourself in those sounds and they're going to come out in some way. So,
is it difficult for you to not do the norm, you know, as far as your music? You know, like you said, that your sound is very different. I totally agree to that. Is it difficult to just stay in your own box and not kind of create what everyone else is doing to get airplay on the radio?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I'm older now. So back when I was starting out, you know, I think I understand radio now. I mean, I've been through that whole thing, you know, been through trying to get radio and getting radio and touring and being in that. You know, when I first started, I wanted a major label deal. I mean, that was my goal. And quickly through, you know, a couple of failed deals and, you know, different labels, talking to different labels, you know, they just really wanted to change me into what was exactly the sound and, you know, the imaging and stuff. And it just didn't really gel with me as far as I didn't want to change myself that much. So
great.
It wasn't hard in the fact that I knew my vision. Like, I always had a very firm understanding of my vision as an artist, what my music was meant to do for people, which I always felt was to entertain, to educate, to uplift, you know, to edify people. And I just felt like the path that they wanted to steer me down, you know, as far as that kind of hit music goes. And quite honestly, as an indie, you know, it's hard to do hit music. There's no outlets for it. I mean, this is the struggle that I even find now is that, okay, yes, I'm different, but I'm not a, you know, sort of earthy singer-songwriter girl with long hair. I'm not, or I'm not a rock artist. You know, I'm not totally weird electro. I don't fit in kind of either way. I honestly kind of live in this middle world where I don't fit commercial because I'm not under 24 now. I'm not willing to bare my skin. You know, I'm not willing to be molded by somebody. And yet I don't really fit into the indie scene because there's no real indie scene for what I'm doing, so I've had to basically carve my own path, which has been amazing but also incredibly difficult because finding a marketing angle and trying to gain traction with a fan base is difficult because you see now, like, as the years go by and as also getting involved in film and TV work, you know, there's very strict marketing formula for each type of genre of music, and they just push you through that sort of stream of marketing, but for me it's kind of like, it's not that classifiable anymore, which is interesting because when I first came out, you know, everyone was like, oh, she's just like all the other pop tarts, you know, blah, 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 you know. And now it's gone totally the other way, you know, to like, well, girl, we don't know where to put you. So, you know, I mean, I've been fortunate on the merit of the production of Jeremy and my, you know, writing and singing. We've really done a lot, which is amazing. So I continue to try to, you know, carve my own thing and to be myself. But I do think, you know, obviously there's always still a commercial aspect to what I'm doing. I grew up in that vein. So, but yeah, it's definitely, it's not hard because I've never had a hard time being myself, but
right.
It's not easy because it's hard being myself, you know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
as far as marketing goes. Yeah.
Now for your new album, The Relationship Odyssey, I'm getting ready to play Can't Leave, Can't Stay. Can you set this song up really quick before we play? How did you strategize this?
Basically, well, this album was interesting because basically we came up with a sound palette first. This is the first time where we haven't worked lyrics backwards. Usually I will come to a table with lyrics, or there'll be a track and it'll be lyrically based. This time we actually made up all the sounds and the sonic palettes and wrote to it with the whole thing of keeping the theme. We really wanted to challenge ourselves, which was amazing because it was quite a challenge, but it turned out really good. We were really happy. But for Can't Leave, Can't Stay, I think it's a topic that, you know, it's a song we've kind of all been through, and a lot of people write songs from I'm out the door, I'm leaving you, like out the door on the album, or they come to, you know, like, I'm going to be here, I'm going to stay, stick through it no matter what. This was, I really don't know. And I think as you grow up and you have more relationships, you know, romantic relationships or even friendships, you get into a situation sometimes where it's like, you know, I really can't leave this person because I love them or I care for them or their family or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I also can't stay. So it kind of tears you apart. So for this song, it was really, we wanted to put that whole perspective of I'm really stuck in the middle where I just don't really know what to do. Like, I know that it's killing me to be here, but I also know that it'll kill me to leave, so I don't know what to do. So I think it was just an interesting flip of that general topic, you know, to just say I'm sort of in the indecisive, I don't know, position. And really that's what thematically the song was about. And as far as the music, again, just playing with, we just played a lot. We just got so many sounds and we played and played and played and experimented with different melodies. And, you know, were we going to do the typical Nat, you know, backgrounds or not? And, you know, this is just what came out from the production of those sessions.
And with that said, we're going to play Can't Leave, Can't Stay by Natalie Brown. And this is off The Relationship Odyssey.
I can't leave, but I can't stay. I'm the door.
That was Can't Leave, Can't Stay by Natalie Brown. It was so difficult to not let me play, to not play because I love that song because so many people can relate to it, and it's real, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I love about your music. That's what I love about the Relationship Odyssey. How did you come up with the title Relationship Odyssey for this album?
Well, basically, you know, I've done a few albums now. I did Let the Candle Burn, you know, 2000, and then we did a Christmas album, and then Random Thoughts was the production of, you know, I had a long break because I was working in film and TV, and, you know, I came to this album, we were like, you know, we don't want to just do another album. We want to make it different, make it a challenge. You know, it's all about growing as an artist and performer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, first of all, we were like, okay, well, let's do a theme. And so we toyed around with a bunch of different ideas, and my thing is I wanted this album to be very relatable. I wanted everyone to find a song on it that they could claim as theirs. And, of course, we got talking about what everyone deals with, which is relationships. So we decided, okay. And then I was just fooling around and be like, yeah, it's like a space odyssey, but it's through relationships.
Right.
And it just became, okay, let's just call it the Relationship Odyssey. So I got the whole thing from that movie, the, you know, Space Odyssey. And, you know, basically that's how the title came to be. And then we sat down and it was a difficult album to write, I'll tell you, because, you know, a lot of times I'll pull from, you know, my own life. I did, like, especially Let the Candle Burn was very personal and, you know, very my life oriented at the time. But this one we had to, you know, basically go out there and spy, you know, listen in on conversations or just
right.
people we knew or whatever, you know, and then a lot of imagination. So it kind of came together that way. And then, so it was the double hit, which was we did, okay, let's do total sound experimentation. Let's just get a whole bunch of sonic palettes and let's play with it, because I was getting really into electro music and was like, wow, this is really cool, and how it would fit with that whole Odyssey kind of concept. And then we just decided, okay, let's write it about relationships because everyone could relate to that. You know, I thought it would be really easy. You know, what could be easier than relationships? But the writing was really quite arduous. I mean, I had written a whole bunch of songs. I had done a 90-day challenge to kick off the album. I think it was back in, like, March 2010. And thought I had the album in the pocket 3 months, you know, 3 months later. But then was revisiting it, and I'm like, well, I can't not address this, or we can't, you know. So we went back and we spent almost a year or at least 9 more months rewriting. And I've never done so much rewriting for a project for songs, because it was interesting, because the, you know, words, I'm always been about words, and I'm very, very much into words and English and the language. And I just wanted to make sure, you know, whether it was my A-type personality or perfectionist sort of thing, but I wanted to make sure I was very careful with the words. Both of us did. We were, you know, you have to treat it gently, because you are kind of talking about people's lives, even though these are songs and scenarios. You do have to be careful. Words have so much power. I've always felt that. So, you know, it was frustrating because I wanted to have the album out sooner, and, you know, people had crowdfunded, and it was kind of a weird zone to be in. But I also felt like it wasn't fair to not pay the right respect to the words and the songs. So the executive decision was made basically to make sure that it was right. And then finally, you know, by the fall of 2011, we felt like, okay, yeah, it's in the pocket now. We're covering everything we want to cover. We're not really doubling over in topics. I mean, we wrote over 40 songs for this project, if you can believe that.
It's
kind of unreal for me. Yeah, I don't usually write that much for, you know, an album project of that size. So, but it was, you know, it's like a baby, you know, so you have to be careful with it, and you want it to be right and nurture it in the right way. So got to pay respect in that regard.
The album is beautiful. I'm getting ready to play another track from it called Drifting. Can you set this up for us?
Absolutely. So Drifting is, you know, this song was sort of based on some real life, just talking to a friend of mine, and then some added, you know, imagination into it. But just a relationship, and it was more, this one was more based on a friendship, but it can be also a romantic relationship. But, you know, you have friends, you know, and, you know, there's that saying, friends are for, you know, a season, a reason, or a lifetime. You know, sometimes friends come in and out of your life, right? And, you know, this particular relationship is just some, you know, two people who have talked a lot and shared a lot of stuff, and then, you know, something's going on, something's happening, and the communication is slowing down, and, you know, what's going on, and it's from the perspective of the person who's like, you know, what's are we drifting away from what we had? You know, where are all those sunny days? You know, where are all those great days where we used to talk and share? You know, are we drifting? And then they're saying, you know, can we go back to a time, to those simple days when mine was yours and yours was mine and nothing got in our way, when we shared intimately and exclusively and nothing or nobody got in our way? And I think pretty much all of us have, you know, been through something like that. So I thought that it was definitely a topic that needed to be covered, you know, on the project, because, you know, this happens in life. Friendships do come and go. And it can be painful, you know, it really can be. And you sometimes don't know why, you know, why did that person all of a sudden not be my friend anymore? And, it, you know, there's a lot of questions. So hopefully the song will help some of those people work through their pain or their, you know, confusion of that kind of a relationship.
And with that said, I mean, that was beautiful, and that's what I got out of the song. I'm going to play right now, Drifting, by Natalie Brown off the Relationship Odyssey. Your music so different?
Oh, wow. Well, I think every person is different, so they're going to bring a different perspective to whatever they do. And I think my life lessons, and I think my interesting and unique sort of background. I mean, my parents are from Britain and listen to the Beatles and folk music, but then I got so wrapped up into gospel and R&B, and, you know, huge R&B fan. And I think just the mix of all that different upbringing and exposure. I mean, I've seen a lot of the world and lived in many places and traveled, and I think I've been open enough to take a piece of those experiences with me. And, of course, then that, you know, is a sort of, you know, fertilizer for whatever I do artistically. And I think that's what makes me different. I think, too, you know, in today's sort of music age, and I'm speaking sort of more commercial, you know, they sell a certain thing, and I don't sell the same thing. I think what I try to do is make people feel good, you know, and I think that, unfortunately, there's definitely people out there who are doing that, maybe in a different way, more like maybe New Age music or other things, but I think in the commercial world, I think, you know, me bringing the sunshine is probably a different kind of thing, you know, so that's what I try to do for my interactions with everyone on social media and my interviews and my music. I try to bring that perspective. You know, I mean, we're all servants to this craft, you know, whatever it is, whether you're a painter or a singer, and I just try to be the best steward of it that I can to try to, you know, bring a little sunshine to people. So I think that's what kind of makes me different. I'm sure if you would ask five different people what would make me different, you'd all get a different answer from what I said, but who knows?
No, I remember you saying that you were about to go on tour with the late, great Tina Marie before her passing. Are you planning a tour right now?
You know, not right now. I moved back to Canada in 2009, and, you know, touring has been, let me put it this way. I want to do it, but the money has to be there for me to do it. You know, back when I did Let the Candle Burn, there was a lot more avenues. There was more venues. I mean, touring in itself for everyone has become more difficult, even for those rock bands who, you know, typically go out on the road. And I'm not in the position to, you know, make a bunch of people go on the road and, you know, struggle at this point. I want to do it. I think I want to start locally first and just do some local shows. But I want to do it right. You know, everyone thinks, oh, just get out there, you know. And that's fine. For some acts, that's totally fine. But for what I do, again, because I've always had to carve my own path, there's not necessarily venues that are very welcoming to, you know, sort of independent, commercial-sounding pop music. So it's about having enough resources and enough fans, you know, quite honestly. Though being an online artist, like promoting online, is amazing. You reach small bunches of people all over the world. It's not like I grew up as that local artist that has that huge local following. I've been all over. And, you know, so there's fans all over the world, but there's just not enough to justify, you know, at this point spending, you know, $75,000 to do 15 dates at this point. That may change, you know, we'll see. That's something I'm evaluating in the next couple of years, you know, whether I do another crowdfunding effort to support a small tour. I think I'd probably start with the East Coast first and see how that is. But, you know, it's just the unfortunate circumstance of the business that we're in where people don't really want to pay artists anymore. And, you know, so you have to self-fund it, and I have to sit back as a grown woman now who has, you know, things, you know, responsibilities. Do I want to take that money and spend it? You know, the initial concept of the crowdfunding from my first crowdfunding was to do a live DVD, you know, to just do a show in one place. But, you know, unfortunately, we did not meet the funding, you know, a goal for that, for producing the DVD part of it, which was unfortunate. But, you know, I'm not one to give up. So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. But I also have to be wise about it. And, you know, you're not just talking about me. I mean, I have a team. I'm not coming by myself. And I, you know, people said, well, just get out there with tracks, you know. But I've done that before. It's not the same. You really want to bring a band. You want to bring people and have a good show. Because this is what it's about, right? It's show business. It's entertainment.
Absolutely.
So it has to be a good and compelling show. And I don't really want to do anything, you know, sort of half-assed. I really want to put my full effort into it and make sure people leave with a good experience. And that's always what I've been about, whether it's an album, a show, an interview, whatever. People need to leave with a good experience. So I think my fans deserve that. That's just what I think.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, well. You know, this question used to be so much easier to answer when I thought I knew all the answers to life. Where do I see myself in 5 years? I see myself, you know, probably doing, you know, again, putting out more albums. I see myself, I think by that point, having done a bit more touring. I see myself continuing to write for film and TV. I see myself staying open to whatever, you know, opportunities present themselves, I think I've learned, you know, especially in those first 5 to 7 years of my career, that you can plan all you want, but life's winds have their way of blowing, and you have to stay open and flexible. So I think I just see myself staying open and flexible and jumping on anything that fits with my vision, definitely.
Right. Now, the big question of the day. Are you ready?
I think so.
Tell us two things. Something. Just tell us something. Just two things about Natalie Brown that no one else knows.
Two things about Natalie Brown that no one else knows. God, I talk so much. I think everybody knows everything. Lord, I don't even know what to say because I just have that habit. Two things that no one knows.
Something crazy and fun.
Okay, so I have a really bad potty mouth. And I try to restrain myself, but I'm really bad. Like, I am really bad. I have to say, that's a terrible thing to admit. I could probably put any sailor to shame when I get frustrated or upset. That's one of my secrets, is that I'm really happy and bubbly, but I can swear really bad.
We should have a swearing competition on the Sci Effect. Let's see who wins.
I know, right? But it's funny because I will do it in you know, I will not swear in public generally unless I'm really pissed off. But you know, at home, it's terrible. Soulmates always laughing at me because I come up with all these interesting swear words. Really bad. Okay, so that's number one that not a lot of people know, and probably wouldn't even expect because they're like, oh, you're so pling. You know what? I can't imagine you swearing. Oh, I'm terrible.
And then you bust out and say, mother beep beep that beep.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's like one of my favorite words. It's really terrible. Okay, and then the other one, I think it would be that I doubt myself creatively quite a bit. I think a lot of people think I'm just really confident, and I am a very confident person, but when I'm writing or in the studio, I'm really always like, actually it's a fight that my producer and I have a lot, and he's always like, stop producing. Like, every time I'm in there singing, I produce myself and I overproduce myself. And so it's really funny because usually it's the other way around. It's the producer overproducing the singer, but he's always telling me to let go. So it's this really weird thing where I have like so much going on in my brain, and when I'm actually recording or writing or whatever, I tend to I censor or I you know, I think I cut myself off a lot, so that's amazing that he's there because he brings out of me, he's like, let go, don't care.
Right.
You know, this is not going live. You have the freedom and space to just make mistakes or whatever you perceive as a mistake. And it's so funny because we always fight about my mistakes because my mistakes always end up being the lead track of the album. So, you know, like, it always ends up that what I think was horrible he puts on, and we have these big fights about, you know, which vocals end up being on the album, which is quite funny. It happens like every album, 4 albums later, still happening. But yeah, I'm very, very critical of myself, like incredibly critical. Not to the point where it's debilitating, because obviously albums always come out, but I think that definitely I'm getting better as I get older, but definitely I think I'm more critical of my creative process or my ideas than people might assume I might be.
Now, that's pretty much the life of a perfectionist. That's what happens. And from that, you produce, compose great, beautiful music that everyone can relate to. You know, it doesn't have an age criteria to your music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
the
beautiful thing. And it's timeless. Your music timeless, you know?
Thank you.
And I am absolutely honored to have you on the show. I can't wait to see what you come up with next. I'm excited.
Thank you.
It's great.
It's great that you're excited. I love that people are, that's such a blessing to me to hear those words, because at the end of the day, you know, that's why I do this, is to hopefully speak to somebody's heart. You know, that's why I do music, and it's just really amazing to hear that it does, you know, for me sitting in there criticizing myself for every take, you know, just to know that process and sometimes that angst that I go through, you know, produces something that touches someone, wow, you know, that's more than, you know, that's what you want as an artist. That's all you can ask for.
Now, as far as people connecting with you, do you you want to give out your Twitter information, Facebook fan page, or your website?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place to get all the information is at www.natalie-brown.com. I have all of my Facebook, Twitter, G+, everything is up there. I don't think my Pinterest is up there. I should put it up there. I've been pinning like a fool lately. But yeah, so everything's there. But Facebook is facebook.com/Natalie Brown Music. Twitter is Natalie_Brown. But everything's in one handy place on my website, Natalie-Brown.com. And you can also buy CDs direct from me, cut out that middleman and buy them from me there. Or you can also buy it the stuff at iTunes and Amazon, and all of the albums except for A Cool Christmas are at those particular sites. And wherever good music is sold digitally, you can find it.
Beautiful. Natalie, I want to thank you for coming on the Psy Effect. You are officially a part of the Psy Effect family, and you are welcome back anytime, anytime, whatever you
thank
have
you.
Going on. You
thank
call
you.
Me and you say, Psy,
all right.
I got something new for you. I'm working on this.
Amazing.
You know, call me.
Awesome. Yeah, we will for sure. And I appreciate you, Psy. Thank you for, you know, 10-plus years of support. I'm really glad we reconnected again. I'm proud of you. I'm proud to see you're keeping on. You know, this is a real interesting, crazy time we've come up with music and, you know, all kinds of performance art and, you know, that you've stuck through with it, too. I'm so happy, you know, that you have, and I'm proud of you, too. So congrats
Thank
on your
you.
Show
you're
and
welcome.
Everything you've been doing. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I'm working on a lot of things also, and I can't wait to share it with you all as well.
Absolutely.
And I thank you for your support. Thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. And you know, if you need some info spread on the internet, you just holler.
Thank you. Well,
all
that's
right.
That's it. Thank you, everyone. That was Natalie Brown. If you want to download the Relationship Odyssey, go to Natalie-Brown.com and download it. I promise you all, you will not regret it. You can catch me here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday on www.blogtalkradio.com/The Psy Effect. You can follow me on I Am Psy on Twitter. Until next week, peace and love.
Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you for joining in. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, check us out next time for more fun and more laughs on The Psy Effect.